Good evening, this is Mark Lynch, and this is Inquiry. My returning guest tonight, always a pleasure, is award-winning author, artist, and graphic memoirist, Jarrett J. Krasoska. We're going to be talking about the upcoming brand new audiobook version of Hey Kiddo, as well as two new volumes of Jedi Academy, two Christina Starspeeder stories, Attack of the Furball, and Revenge of the Sis. Jarrett, welcome back. It's such a pleasure to talk to you. But I have a lot to talk about the audiobook. And I had almost like an out-of-body experience listening to it. And I want to explain why. But first, I'm going to ask you, the idea of doing an audiobook about a graphic memoir, how did that strike you when you first heard that idea?
Well, so Paul Gagné of Scholastic Audio.
Is that the person that...
He was helping direct. Yeah, yeah. Yes. And so Paul had... Scholastic Audio had put together audiobook adaptations of some books that were heavily illustrated.
Not to the extent of yours.
Not to this extent, no. Say, take a Brian Selznick book or Dave Pilkey book in which some of the pages have comic book elements. But I had been preparing these Hey Kiddo live reads.
I've seen them.
Where 10 actors are on stage.
Oh, I haven't seen that.
No, 10 actors are on stage and the projections are behind us. We're actually bringing that show to Mechanics Hall in February here in Worcester. And so for a librarian preview about 4 months before the book was published, I presented a portion of that at the American Library Association. And when Paul saw that, he saw the potential that this had to be an audiobook translation. Now, before this, their Harper Audio, they adapted a book called Nimona by Noel Stevenson, which is a graphic novel.
Oh, I've read it.
And there's an audiobook adaptation of that. So there was a precedent for like this thing happening once before.
But you include so much visual material in that book too, because you have letters, drawings. I mean, the actual original drawings he did as a kid. All that is not going to be translated. But
it is translated. I mean, not visually. So. In some moments, I describe what I drew.
You do.
And also, you get actually more of the letters in the audiobook than you do in the print book. For instance, the letters that my mother wrote me from prison.
So you included more of the letters.
Well, not more of them. Like in the design of the book, some of those letters are obscured. And so, but the actress who read as my mother read those letters in their entirety.
Oh, wow.
For the audiobook. And same for my father, who came and read as himself. He read the letter he wrote to me when I was 16, sort of reaching out to me for the first time.
I got to participate. I mean, I'm going to own up to the audience. I get to participate. But the weirdest thing is I get to play myself.
Yes, which was really weird to give you direction.
The best direction for the entire year was, please, be more sarcastic. Sheila will not let me hear the end of it.
Were you?
And I'm using it as a mantra. But what was amazing is what you assembled for this audiobook was like a performance art project. Talk about that, because you really pulled together all sorts of vocal talents for this show.
Production. More than a little over 40 people were involved in some capacity. In many cases, people voiced themselves because this is a memoir. Right. So Mark, you voiced yourself. Some other teachers that I had in high school voiced themselves. Some family members voiced themselves. Some family members who were children in the book voiced other adults that peripheral that sort of made sense. So, for instance, my sister Holly's eldest daughter voiced the first grade teacher who doubted Holly could be pregnant at such a young age. Right. So there's some really interesting meta stuff, and it's like a radio play.
It really is.
I mean, it is a radio play in essence.
Well, it's interesting because I went in for the production, which is just a small segment of it, and then when I heard the finished product, I was blown away.
Well, the sound design is phenomenal. What they did
is amazing.
The sound effects and the environmental sounds. So if you're in a classroom, if the scene is in a classroom, it very much sounds like you're in a classroom.
Right, right.
If you're at my sister Holly's house, in which she was the mother of three young kids, it sounds like the home that's chaotic, filled with that sort of life. And every character or every scene had different musical cues, if you noticed. So... they also were able to license some music that I referenced in the book. So when my grandparents were married, the band played Pennies from Heaven.
Right.
And so you hear that. And so you hear a touch of the Pennies from Heaven whenever there's reference back to that era of their life. Or when my mother's getting into trouble, there's a signature sound. My birth parents met at my father's family bar.
Don't give away too much.
I won't give away too much. But what I'm going to say is they're playing an acoustic set, like, you know, very, you know, like a very Allman Brothers type thing. And then, so the signature sound for my father as the character is that acoustic guitar. And the design and thought that the production team went put into this is amazing. It's just, I really don't have the adequate words to put in.
An audiobook. You're right. It's a play.
Yeah.
And it's well done. It's well, technologically, it's well done.
Yeah.
But the voice characterizations are outstanding. And I had the weirdest experience. First of all, I love your artwork. So, you know, when I looked at Hey Kiddo, I was just really overjoyed. It was like, I love your artwork. And I followed it through and it really pushed the story along and made the story happen. My being denied that and hearing this audiobook, a whole different thing happens in your brain while you're listening to it.
Mm-hmm.
You've got it completely. It's like apples and oranges. It's not like one is better than the other. It's a completely
different experience.
And I ended up reacting to different characters differently.
In the audio versus the print.
Yeah.
Yes.
I always had sympathy for your mother. Okay. Because I know people who have gone through that. There was something about her characterization of her voice.
Well, the actress, Jenna Lamia, brought such a beautiful vulnerability character.
And your heart goes out to her.
Mm-hmm.
Even more so than in the book.
You could hear the love and the struggles she had in her heart.
Yeah, absolutely. And that means you really get the central thesis of the story, Hey Kiddo.
Yeah.
I mean, you really understand the real tragedy behind that, and then you're overcoming that. Your grandmother, however, I ended up going, what an ass.
She was tough.
She was tough. I mean, we were listening in the car as we were driving, Sheila and I. And I have to say, your grandmother would come on and make some remark. And we would just like look at each other as grandparents.
Could you imagine saying,
oh my God, no.
Telling your kid it's just a pipe dream. You're never going to make it.
Ah.
And what's really funny about that is the woman who played my grandmother is Jeannie Birdsall. Now, Jeannie Birdsall won a National Book Award for The Penderwicks. And The Penderwicks was first published in 2003. It's a series, and it's a middle grade series that is very much a throwback to that sort of Anne of Green Gables era.
Oh, yeah.
It's set in modern day, but it's sweet and it's lovely and it's slow paced.
So how did she get into character?
Well, she has that that edge. Jeannie definitely has the edge in real life.
That was irascible. I think that's one word for it.
Yes. And what was really funny is that, you know, Jeannie typically, you know, she doesn't want to go on book tour. She wants to stay home in her garden.
Oh my God.
And when we did these live reads, I told her, she's one of my closest friends, and she said, could I play your grandmother in the live reads? And it turns out that she had this whole history in high school. She did the drama club and plays, but she hadn't acted in years, and she just stole the show. And she brought up on stage with her. She went out and bought a pack of non-filtered Camel cigarettes just to hold it in her hand. And sitting next to her, what's amazing is that smell of that tobacco just brought me back.
Oh my God.
And so Paul, the executive director, came to one of the readings and was really blown away by her performance, and so ended up giving her her first professional acting gig. You know,
she was amazing.
She does such a great job.
That's scary that's who that is.
But I think it sort of took someone who could also understand the love that my grandmother had for me. In fact, you know, I listened to every pass of the audiobook and gave notes.
Yeah, but that's you and you lived through it. I'll tell you, to the outside audience, she was tough. Yes, there was a soft side of her. But she was really a tough, and again, as a grandparent, I was like,
nah. But in my notes, we had to bring her back for some pickups because she wasn't tough enough.
That's interesting.
In some of the first take, she was a little bit too sweet in some instances. And I said, no, there was definitely more tartness to her tone.
I loved her, interactions with her husband.
Yes. The grandfather.
No, the father, he came out differently in my mind. Two.
Yeah, Richard Farrone.
Yeah. I want to say that I always knew that they were incredibly important and crucial to your survival. But after listening to it, I really felt he was more of, I got more of his guiding hand.
He was the steady hand in my life.
Right, exactly.
Absolutely.
Right.
And what's wild, and you know, he's a professional actor. He's been on Broadway. He does a lot of audiobooks. And Paul was knew exactly who he should hire. Because one of the things I said to the team going into this, I said, what the audiobook can bring that the print book can't is to sound like Wusta.
It did.
It needs to sound like Wusta, right. Like authentic.
Your mother
Wusta
was perfect.
Accents. Oh, and she had a role in The Fighter. She was one of the sisters.
Really?
And her one line that I think one of the lines that made it the movie where Paul said, "Here's someone I have in mind to play your mother. Here's a YouTube clip." And the line was, "F you, Charlene, you." And I was like, "That's it.
That's it.
My mother." And but so the actor who played my grandfather, I saw photos of him afterwards, and he has the same hair as my grandfather. He kind of looks like Joe. It's bizarre.
Wow.
And Jeannie also brought in the Camel cigarettes to the recording, just to have it there.
Now, when is this coming up?
October 29th. Wherever you get your audiobooks, you know, you can get audiobooks through your independent bookstore. You can get audiobooks.
And I'm not going to say this just because you're my longtime friend, okay? But really do pick up the audiobook because it's a totally different experience. And actually, they inform each other.
Oh, that's so nice to hear. I hope that, you know, I listen to a lot of audio books and podcasts.
I don't.
And what I hope, though, and of course, typically you do it while you're multitasking, while you're driving. And the production itself is, you know, it's about, the running time is about 2 hours and 45 minutes.
Right.
And it's my hope that people will just sit with it and listen to it. And perhaps you could thumb along through the book if you'd like to, but you could really just sit in a darkened room just with some loved ones and just take it in.
I actually had, having read the book first, obviously, and then listened to it separately, I thought it was an interesting experience. Then you could later read it and listen to it together.
Yeah.
Now, Hey Kiddo has really developed a life of its own.
It has, at this point.
And there's a lot of experiences you're having. For people who have not heard about the book or read the book, this is your life story, growing up in a house where your mother's a heroin addict, who wants to, she doesn't want to be a heroin addict.
Right.
She is. You're raised by your grandparents, who are classic working class people, and how you find yourself. Mm-hmm. And by the way, I want to say the audio version of you as the teenager. Those whole teenage hijinks things where you're skipping. I want more of that.
Yeah.
I know it sounds really weird, but I wanted more teen stuff from you. It's an amazing, heartfelt book that has light moments, but it's a serious book.
Yeah.
When you've been presenting this to the public, you now, and in schools, you now have had a lot of kids talk to you.
Oh, yes.
How does that affect you emotionally? It must be incredibly emotionally satisfying one point, but it's got to be emotionally, as a parent yourself.
It can be exhausting, sure. Hey Kiddo has been out for a year now.
Okay.
And the initial book tour, which was fall of 2018, was exhausting because it was the first time I was talking about this day after day, giving this presentation with a slideshow, how I made the book, what I went through. But because I delivered a TED Talk like 6 years ago now, in which I just skimmed the surface of what I dealt with, I've come to recognize the look someone will give me before they want to share something with me. And for me, when I'm on book tour, like, that's kind of what I'm there for. Like I'm there to listen to the stories, to give affirmation that they're not alone. And I'm talking grandparents handing me pictures of their grandkids that they're raising. I'm talking once a 10-year-old girl whose 13-year-old brother died of an overdose, these teenagers who were dealing with it. And sometimes the teenager will come up to me after a school assembly. They just want to say hi, and they just give me a head nod, and that speaks volumes. Sometimes they want to be more specific. Sometimes they might want to hand me notes. I was just at a book festival in which this librarian, she's a librarian at a group home, and she drove these six students about 4 hours to get there.
Whoa.
And the talk started at 9 a.m. I'm very grateful for these opportunities. And, like anything, making sure I'm doing a good balance of taking care of myself in the process. Like, you know, I mean, what a great metaphor for life when you're, you know, when the flight attendant is saying, okay, put on the oxygen mask on yourself before helping others. You know, that's kind of like my mantra in life.
Because you have your own family.
Because I have my own family as well, and yes.
And that made me think about you listening to this and reading about it. And that's why I'm hoping there's going to be part two, right?
Well, I can tell you, I don't know that I've ever made it to this publicly, I am working on another graphic memoir that takes place another aspect of my teen life. My publisher said they said I can't say exactly what it is.
All right.
But they said I can now say, if someone asks, I can say yes. And I've been working on it for a while. In fact, originally it was a chapter or two of Hey Kiddo, and it just had its own narrative, and it just kept growing. So it's almost like you would be able to read Hey Kiddo up to a certain point, read the second book, and then go back and read the rest of Hey Kiddo.
I know there's a great scene with you out there with the drinking guys off the railroad tracks. And by the way, in the audiobook, it's done perfectly. Oh, that reminds me, another character that I got much more involved in was Pat.
Oh, that's awesome. You know, that's my favorite question. Now I'm getting, you know, questions over and over again. And my favorite question to get from young people is, are you still friends with Pat?
Are you?
He's my son's godfather.
Excellent.
Yes, yeah, we're still pals. And he voices himself, as does his son.
He was great in the story because he was the one that didn't put any burdens on you. And you confessed. You essentially confessed everything that was going on in your life to him. And it was like, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, let's move on.
He's still that. We're that for each other still.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, he was always Kevin Arnold to my Paul Pfeiffer. Like a Wonder Years reference in there.
I can't believe you used that.
Well, you know what? I gotta say, there was an offer for television for Hey Kiddo that I ultimately walked away from.
Like a series?
Yeah,
a limited series.
My elevator pitch was it's the Wonder Years but with heroin. Where it was like half joking, but it kind of works. And so, you know, there was an offer for television, and I walked away from it. We were negotiating, and I just didn't like what they had to say. One of the things they wanted to modernize it, they wouldn't give me certain control over certain characters. And
control is going to be a huge issue for you in this particular project because this is your life,
and it's the people I love, and it's a legacy of people I love. Yeah. And but I can say I can't tell you where again, but I'm working on a stage adaptation for theater. Which would be really fun.
But down the line, is there ever... Because I'll tell you what I was left with, both from reading and hearing, is that I wanted that missing part, which is bringing you there to you having your own family.
Mm, yeah.
And that and how you deal with that, because your family was such a disaster. How does that rest in your mind and how you think about your own family life? And so I sort of want to hear that story too, though.
I have this pipe dream. That.
So you're doing dope?
Yeah, it goes with the theme. After everything I went through, no.
Just like every other star,
parents are destructive. Right. And so, no, I have this. So I have concepts. I did say to my publisher, like, look, y'all are children's publishers, but I have visions of other stories. And one of the biggest gifts my editor gave me, he said, when I went into writing this book, Hey Kiddo, he said, don't write Hey Kiddo like it's the only time you'll get to write about your life. Like this is a particular through line for this story or these people. So I have a vision of eventually I'll have a book that's like half finished and I'll die. And then one of my kids will have to finish.
Oh, wouldn't that be great?
Like what happened? How did I die? What happened? And then take it from there. And then you would have this whole bookshelf of when the great great grandparents started dating, and then maybe when my kids become grandparents or something like that. But I mean, it was certainly a struggle to now when I got married, Gina, who has a mom and dad at home, a brother, a great life, and you know, not without her own internal struggles.
That's right.
But how I managed to fit in, and to tell you, like the rehearsal dinner, marrying everyone you met in Hey Kiddo within everyone from my wife's side of the family who were, you know, her parents grew up in the New Haven area. So not huge difference between New Haven and Worcester necessarily, but they eventually settled in Northern Connecticut, which is very different.
Very different.
New Haven. And so, I would like to continue to explore the themes of real life. I mean, one of my favorite authors is David Sedaris. Right. And, you know, I don't know if you might not know this story, but I was really struggling when I was writing Hey Kiddo, struggling with how to put out a story. How will people react to this? And I went to one of his readings, and it was this huge theater, and I raised my hand, and I was so nervous to get called upon. And I'm okay, this is what kids go through when I'm at elementary schools. I go, who has a question? And oh, they called on me, and he called on me, and I asked how his family deals with it. And he said, I don't reveal their secrets, which I thought was really insightful. Because, of course, you read his books and you wonder, well, what are their secrets? And I didn't reveal any of my family's secrets. And I didn't reveal anything without their permission.
Or they've passed on.
Or they passed on. And when you pass on, what you leave behind is your story. You know. And I also struggled with how to deal with, I said, you know, part of it is, you know, I'm meeting my father for the first time. He peaced out when my mother was pregnant. And David Zitter's kind of leaned back in his chair. And he said, well, here's the thing. This is at the book signing afterwards. Yeah. He said, here's the thing. If you live your life like you're an a-hole, you're going to be written about like you're an a-hole. So just go home and write the damn book. And I thought, you're right. Like if you act poorly in life, like that's how you're going to be remembered. Fortunately, you know, for my father, I don't want to give away the book, but there's redemption in what happened. And that's a whole other topic I could go into. I mean, developing my friendship with him and my brother and sister is like a whole other track to my life.
That's what I'm talking about. Those are the elements that I know about, but I want to see the in-depth story about what happened. I know your family is so important to you, but one of the funniest moments that happened is one of your daughters actually accepted an award for you.
Just recently.
Now, Gina was there too.
Gina was there, but Gina is impossibly shy. And surprisingly enough, I got Gina to record a voice for the audiobook too. She plays a waitress, and she had two lines, and she almost fell apart in the recording booth. So I had this amazing opportunity in which I was nominated for Book of the Year at the Harvey Awards in New York City. And Hey Kiddo won a Horn Book Honor Award for nonfiction, which was taking place in Boston, and they were on the same night. So I went to New York not knowing if I'd win. I sent my wife and daughter to Boston knowing they'd have to give a short speech for being an honor book. You know, in the honor books, you had to give a 2-minute speech. The books that won the medal were about a 10-minute speech. And so Zoe did a remarkable job in front of a room full of 200-300 adults delivering the speech.
You're going to have a lot to do when she's a teenager.
Yes. And she's, well, you know, she voiced me as a young kid.
I know that.
She's a good actress too.
Wow, when she's a teenager, we're going to have to do a whole other series of interviews.
They were just therapy.
Now, we're going to run out of time. We actually literally have only minutes left. And I want to make sure we talk about Jedi Academy.
Oh, there's another thing I'm doing with Star Wars.
So there's two
side hustle.
There's two new books in Jedi Academy. They're Christina Starspeeder stories, Attack of the Furball and Revenge of the Sis. These are really fun.
Thank you.
It's such a really, because this book, Hey Kiddo, is really heart-wrenching. Yeah, it's like really, but these, what's it like to work with a franchise like that? You must have incredible limitations put on you.
You would think, but you know, this is the second trilogy that I've done, and my first pitch for the first trilogy was like, they're in middle school and they do musical theater and they're learning how to use the Force. They're like, okay, go for it. I mean, pretty much the only thing I can't do, because these books are not canon, is I can't contradict what happened in canon, right? So I can't undermine.
Oh, so you have to, it has to all make sense.
Yes, I can't undermine what is known as factual in this fictional world.
Is there a canon that's printed?
There is somebody at Lucasfilm who started off as a fan who had a website in the late 90s that categorized all of these facts, who they eventually hired. And that person reads every single thing that gets published or written for TV, for screen.
Because these are really, like, you can read them if you've never seen Star Wars before. However, if you've seen the films, you jam so much, like, background guys and people and creatures in there.
A lot of tips of the hat. And this trilogy is a collaboration with my friend Amy Ignatow. And she's so funny. So the process for these books is Christina's a character that I created for the previous trilogy, but now she's now the main character and she's the one writing the journals from her perspective. So I outline the books and then bat it over to Amy. And then Amy fleshes that all out and writes in the voice of this young female who's learning to become a Jedi, that's struggling with her confidence and overconfidence and trying to deal with her mentor, who she thinks is kind of tough on her at times. And then it gets batted back to me, and then I draw all the pictures.
I really thought I got a lot of goofy pleasure out of it.
I'm glad because I
get sort of nerdy about stuff like that. And if you're one of those people as an adult, just pick up the books anyways. Now, how many books totally are there in the Jedi Academy series?
Okay, Jeffrey Brown did the first three. I did the next three. Amy and I are doing these three. So that'll be nine altogether, six that I was involved with. And there's one coming out in spring, and that'll be the end of Jedi Academy for me. I'm hanging up the lightsaber.
It's a lot of work.
It's a lot of work. I have more stuff for teens, but I'm also readying...
What? You've got more projects?
Well, the one that I alluded to earlier. Okay. But I'm working on a new middle grade series. So, you know, that sort of lunch lady Jedi Academy age range... graphic novel, younger. It's good to have that lighthearted stuff to contrast with the heavier stuff.
One last question, though. But after writing and illustrating and Hey Kiddo, a book that, yeah, it's for young teens, but it's a book that's definitely for adults, too.
It's had a big crossover.
It has a big crossover. How does that make you feel about doing younger kids' books still? Can you still work up the energy and the enthusiasm?
Yeah. Oh, for sure. I think it was liberating to be able to cuss in these books for older readers, sure, and deal with older stuff, but then to be just really silly and goofy. But the next middle grade series I have, it will be silly, but it will have more of an intense theme. And I have a new idea for a picture book. And I haven't had a picture book for years, and it's not going to be Punk Farm. It's not going to be Monkey Boy. It's going to be a very different kind
Monkey
of book.
Boy Farm.
Monkey Boy Farm, yes. No, it won't be high concept character driven.
It won't be.
My next picture book I'm working on. It's much more like, if you boil down Hey Kiddo to be a picture book, it's not necessarily memoir, but it's hard to describe. But it's going to be, it's different. Very artistically different.
Is it going to be more than the style? Because your art style for Hey Kiddo is very different.
I had to completely switch it up for the...
You
know, the style will go for whatever the vibe of... the story that the story requires.
That's amazing. Thanks. It's absolutely amazing. Now, I can hardly wait till this next version of Teen Jared comes out, because I totally got involved. And especially in the audiobook, where there was all the sound effects of you going down the railroad tracks to the spot where everybody hung out, and then you got beaten up and all that stuff. Oh my God, I loved it.
Well, and there was a lot of teen stuff in that first draft of Hey Kiddo, but you know, Hey Kiddo is about family. So
it really is.
The question is, is this scene about family? And if the answer is no, it kind of had to be taken out. But the character of Pat is family, as he is in real life.
We're completely out of time. We could talk all day. My returning guest, and it's always a real pleasure to talk to him, is award-winning author and artist and graphic memoirist, Jarrett J. Krasoska. And we have been talking about the audiobook version of Hey Kiddo, which is out
October 29th.
I've listened to it. It's incredibly worth it.
Thank you.
As well as the two new volumes of Jedi Academy, two new Christina Starspeeder stories, Attack of the Furball, and Revenge of the Sis, S-I-S, not Sith.
She's the sister.
Jared, it's been a pleasure as always.
Oh, thank you so much, Mark. It's always so good to see you.
You're listening to WICN 90.5 FM. This is Inquiry. My name is Mark Lynch. Good night.